Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
And to be clear, I still resent that question. Just to make it abundantly clear to everyone, Jhené and Gola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Gola Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got plenty of time to get into what we've got going on today with Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. It is amazing, Jhené. The Eagles might be the worst, most talked about team in pro sports this entire calendar year, right?
Can you think? Keep them happy. Like, it's the holiday spirit. You got to win, and it's still like, Like, really? Come on, take your win.
It's just a testament to how powerful the brand of quarterback is in the NFL overall, where Carson Wentz becomes one of the most talked about names of the season, despite being statistically one of the worst quarterbacks in the season. And the strength of maybe the Eagles and the NFC East brand overall, where we still find ways to bring up the Cowboys and the Eagles in conversations they have no earthly business being involved in.
Very true.
Not conversations like the Buffalo Bills need to be involved in right now, because the Buffalo Bills got a win against the Pittsburgh Steelers last night on Sunday Night Football. And I found out a very interesting thing this weekend. I'm riding around in my car. I'm listening to ESPN Radio on the weekends. Alyssa Lang and company doing a great job on my Sunday afternoon, getting ready for the Bills-Steelers Sunday night game. And I heard a voice, one of the best voices for us here at ESPN, does a great job covering MMA for us all across the board. You see him on hoop streams, big Toronto Raptors fans and all this. I had no idea that Ariel Helwani was also a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. And so, since I heard him fuming going into that Sunday night matchup, we wanted to give him the chance to come in here and represent alongside the great Christine Lisi here at ESPN for Bills Nation. And so we're going to let Ariel Helwani come in hot here. Hello, second, Mario.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
Gotcha. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Jhené and Golic Jr.
Ariel, my apologies. I didn't mean to run you into the audio hard out there.
What is going on here?
I know.
What kind of rinky-dink show are you guys running over there? First
Ariel,
of all,
that was
I'm
all
happy
him.
That you said. Yeah, I know it's all him, because I expect nothing less when I come on Golic show. Listen. I understand what you just said, and I appreciate what you just said at the top, because I've been watching ESPN for the past, 13, 14 hours today, and it's exactly what you said. Jalen Hurts this. What happened to the Steelers that? What's going on with this team? What's going on with that team? And once again, and you know, I'll be honest with you guys. I woke up today very upset. I started my day off on the wrong foot, because once again, on Sunday night, the Buffalo Bills do what no one expects them to do. They punch the Steelers in the mouth, and no one talks about them. They were the last game played on Sunday night. And come Monday morning, get up, SportsCenter, First Take, no one's talking about them. And at first I was mad, but then I was like, yes, I love this. This is exactly what the Bills fans love. This is exactly what Western New York loves. Keep doubting us, because here and now I will proclaim once again that the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL. Let me repeat that for all of you so you can cut it up, you can clip it off, you can post it on whatever social media. The Buffalo Bills are the best team in the NFL, and they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. Why? Because we have number 17, Josh Allen. Juju Schuster, you want to dance on our logo? Think again, buddy. We got Stephon Diggs, the best wide receiver in the game. We got the best coach in the game, Sean McDermott. We don't need any of your praise. All we need is Christine, myself, and Western New York, because we are coming for the trophy. We are finally going to do it. And I am so hyped, and I'm so tired of the disrespect. But at the same time, I love the disrespect, because that's exactly what the Bills fans are all about. Keep disrespecting us. Keep doubting us. And we'll keep winning ball games.
Woo!
What now?
Yeah! Let's go!
This isn't a game. This isn't a game. The Steelers didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They were supposed to be undefeated going into that game. That's an 11-1 team. Are you kidding me? Guess what's happening next week? Saturday, they just flexed us to play Denver. Oh, my God. My heart and soul goes out to I want to send thoughts and prayers to the Denver Broncos, because we're about to do something worse than them on Saturday. And then we got the Patriots. And then, you know, it's been a cute story what's happening in Miami, Tua and Fitzmagic. It's been a really cute story. South Beach is all excited that the team is, going to end up, 9-7 or something. It's a cute story. But we're about to wrap up the AFC East for the first time since 1995. My only complaint about all this, it's not that people like you and Jhené don't talk about the Bills. It's not that people like Schefter and Field Yates don't talk about the Bills. It's not that anyone gives us any kind of respect. It's my only gripe is that the great Buffalo Bills fans can't be in attendance at the Ralph cheering on their team, because you know no fan base deserves this more than the Buffalo Bills fans. But it's okay. We will celebrate next year with our trophy, because no one deserves it more than the Buffalo Bills. What do you have to say now, Mike? What do you have to say now, Shanae? Give us some respect.
I've got something for you. Ariel Helwani, ESPN MMA insider here, just preaching the good gospel here on Shanae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I've got something to tell you. We started our show with the Buffalo Bills and Christine Lisi. We got to get some credit here, Ariel.
Yeah, well, Christine has been doing this a hell of a lot longer than I have at ESPN, so I will bow down to her. But let's be honest, the only reason, and you know this to be true, the only reason why you talked about the Bills was because Christine was in the house. You would not have started with the Bills. You would have started, what's wrong with Roethlisberger? What's going on with the Steelers? How could they have lost two in a row? What's going on with Jalen Hurts and Carson? Who cares about Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz? The Eagles aren't even in the playoffs. We're talking about a team that should have now been, what are they, on a 7-game winning streak? Because we all know that DeAndre Hopkins, that was a pass interference. No one wants to talk about it, but he should not have caught that ball. That was a penalty on him, and the game should have been over, and we should have won that game, but it's okay. Spilled milk, we're over it. We're moving on. The Bills are coming for the Kansas City Chiefs' throat. AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. You heard it here first. We're winning 31-17 en route to the Super Bowl.
We've got predictions from Ariel Helwani, which, reminder, you can get him on Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, DC and Helwani. All of these great places, in addition to doing great sideline work in the NBA. Ariel Helwani is with us here now on Shanae and Golic Jr., preaching the Bills' gospel for us here, giving us AFC Championship game predictions. But, Ariel, I do have to ask you now the important question that comes off of this is, what is wrong with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Hey, what about this song? Be quiet when I'm playing a number one hit, Mike Golic. Say you will come out, come out. Sing it with me, Christine. You know the lyrics. Let me hear ya. Come on, Christine.
Christine is hanging you out to dry. Ariel, you can't see her right now. She is mortified in the other room. She is laughing hysterically.
No, this is awesome.
Christine,
no,
can you defend us? I feel like we do your Bills justice here.
They do. Ariel, I got to be honest. Shanae and Junior, they do give the Bills props a lot. I don't know. I don't think it's just because of me, but I'm not sure. I do bribe them with cookies.
You know what?
That is true.
Fine. Can you allow me to apologize for a second? Look, I'm taking out a lot of my frustrations on, you know, the worldwide leader. They're supposed to be covering the best story in the NFL, and they're not, and they're ignoring us. And so you're the first show. You're the only show that wants to talk to me. No one wants to talk to me for whatever reason. I don't know why. But you're the only show that invited me on today, so I'm taking out a lot of frustrations on you guys, and that's not fair. So Mike, Shanae, everyone listening, your producers, I want to take this opportunity right now to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Yeah! Yeah! Let's go! No one! The great Ariel Helwani, repping for all of Western New York, repping for the Buffalo Bills, Bills Mafia everywhere, the Ralph, all the above. Ariel, we're glad that you joined us to share these frustrations, to sing songs, and to preach the gospel. You're a good man. Everyone, make sure you check out Ariel Helwani's MMA show, Ariel and the Bad Guy, DC and Helwani, and plenty of other places across this great company where you're going
go
to get
Bills,
more braised, great
Super
Bills
Bowl,
content.
31-17. Don't forget it.
Thanks, Ariel. Ariel Helwani coming in hot, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Janae, that was electric. That man knows how to cut a fight promo about as well as anybody at this company.
Look, I need him to keep that same energy as the Bills keep winning. He is our exclusive correspondent, okay? Like, no other show can poach him and be like, oh, that's great. Like, no, he's ours, 100%.
Ariel Helwani.
If he'll have us, though, at this point, clearly.
You know what? We've had a checkered past with Ariel. He came on this show upset because he felt like he wasn't getting enough attention, and now I feel like that we've welcomed him back in the right ways, that we're in a good place with Ariel Helwani right now, noted Buffalo Bills enthusiast, predicting a Super Bowl win and all of these other great things. So, if that's any indication, everyone in Buffalo is good right now. The feelings are good. The trajectory is good because Buffalo feels like they've got their future at the quarterback position. Coming up next, we'll go to a city that has anything but settled at that spot and tell them how to fix it next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Shanae, did you see yesterday the press conference, Chase Young, after going off and dominating in the game for the Washington football team this weekend, had his mom dialed up on FaceTime in the postgame presser. That feels like something that you would do, the amount of times we've had your family involved in this show.
So my favorite FaceTime ever was I was in China playing overseas when NECA was playing in the WNBA Finals Game 5. I watched her win on her phone. I watched her win on my phone in China. Like, our practice stopped. All my teammates were there, and I was going nuts. We were all going nuts. And then I FaceTimed her and was able to be in the photo, you know, with her and the trophy. You know, you have all those championship trophy
photos? Yeah.
Yeah, she had one, and there's a picture of me holding up, like, me via her phone on FaceTime. So family FaceTimes in sports are, like, have a sweet spot for me.
That is incredible. And when I say I know something about holding up championship trophies, that was a complete lie. I have no idea what that feels like. I would like to, but that was something I missed out on there. So an incredible experience for you guys, though. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry to drudge that up for you.
No, like, no. I mean, it's
those are normal things for me. I'm sorry.
The charmed life of Chinee Agumake, high-level accomplishing athlete. We'll talk to Mina Kimes in about 10 minutes and see if she has FaceTimed her mom at all during any recent NFL Live episodes. I think Marcus Spears got his mom on FaceTime during their show today. So we'll see if that comes up, but it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because we're also probably going to have to ask some questions. As much as Ariel Helwani, noted Bills fan and ESPN MMA analyst, wants everyone to keep talking about the Buffalo Bills and the success that they've had with that team, Chinee, it's impossible to ignore what's going on with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, because I think in large part, Chinee, we follow money in sports. And money in Philadelphia told us Carson Wentz was a quarterback that you could trust, that the Philadelphia Eagles trusted in a way that maybe was a bit irresponsible at the time, given what his history had been leading up to that moment. But now we've got one of those instances, and they're rare in sports, Chinee. I always go back and think of Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, where he was not supposed to be, as a mid-round pick, the starter in Seattle, but went in and supplanted this person because of ability. And I feel like that's what people, in some sense, maybe in some bit of hope, are wanting for Jalen Hurts, who himself is a very easy guy to root for. The opportunity and the idea that ability can go out there and trump money in the world of sports. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if you look at the stories of these two quarterbacks, they've had to deal with adversity, but in two completely different ways. In the sense that when we focus on Jalen, his experience, you know, getting replaced by Tua and having to weather that sort of allowed him probably to step into the shoes of playing against the Saints, a formidable defense, and succeed and be confident. And so I think that's the beauty of sports, seeing that evolution happen. But how sustainable, realistically? Yes, Cliff, who was very, I guess the word is, like, it's not pessimistic, but realistic about, like, hey, this is cute and all for one game, but what does this mean? We came in with the expectations and the NFC East to be that dog, to be the person that actually run the table, and now we're clapping ourselves or patting ourselves on the back because we gotta win. Like, that's not the standard, clearly, but something has happened where your premier quarterback in Carson Wentz is second-guessing himself, even if he hasn't acknowledged it. Something has happened that Jalen Hurts has to be out there and provide that spark and motivation, even though now that win only puts you at third, I believe, right now in the NFC East. And so I guess now, like, the best-case scenario is that you have a player that you know can provide some kind of energy and bring life back to your locker room. Starting, announced today, correct, starting versus the Cardinals, at the Cardinals. Then they have the Cowboys up next and the Washington football team. While Washington is clearly leading the division, those last two are two winnable games, so that at least this season can't be all for loss. It now is bigger picture. How do you move forward? And I think, like you said, the money will really dictate in our eyes how this franchise moves forward. Having a talented coach that, even though this year has been, you know, not as good as his expectations or how he liked it to be, like, you still have a Super Bowl caliber coach, and then you have a talented quarterback. So, like, there are a lot of good. It just seems that the season has been mired so much in bad that you have to celebrate where you are now. But moving forward, I guess I'm curious, Junior, how you see this playing out, even if Jalen starts and they do amass some wins.
Yeah, and I heard Dan Orlovsky, who does a great job on NFL Live alongside Mina Kimes, who we're going to talk to here in just a couple minutes, say he believes the better Jalen Hurts does down the stretch, the more we see from him, the more likely and the more necessary it is to trade Carson Wentz after this season. And unless we see something that is otherworldly in a level of play, because Jalen Hurts was good, especially for a rookie. He was good in the circumstance that he was thrown into. But that is not someone who I'm willing to just sever off, all right, and say, Carson Wentz, we're done. We're moving on here based on what I saw with Jalen Hurts. If you want to open it up to other quarterbacks, if you want to open it up to the draft, we can have that conversation. So unless Jalen Hurts changes that and grows and matures down the stretch of the season, which is why you need to keep starting him, then you're still probably going to be staring at the same Carson Wentz problem. And so what you've got to hope for and what I'd expect is a Carson Wentz that comes back with a bit of a different understanding now that he has seen and tasted his own football mortality. And Shanae, you know this, as an athlete, there's a feeling of invincibility that I think follows everyone. And when you're successful, especially the way Carson Wentz has been, Carson Wentz's career at times has been derailed by injury. And that has created some problems for him. That created the Nick Foles problem in Philadelphia for him. But now it is his play. It is what he has done on the field that's opened the door for this. And you know, tasting that mortality, feeling that instance pop up, that's your best hope for change as an athlete. If that doesn't change Carson Wentz, then after next year, you know what conversations you're going to be having. It becomes abundantly clear then.
I'm going to be super transparent here, Junior, because as you were saying this, I tried to put myself in the body and spirit of Carson Wentz. And I sort of relate because both of us have come back from injuries. And then even when I played with the Sparks this past year, I came from a situation where I was that dude. And I always say that because that's just how we talk in sports. I was that dude in Connecticut. I got the ball every time. I was the all-star. I was the comeback player of the year, and now I'm on a team where I'm playing with Candace Parker and Neko Ogwumike and Chelsea Gray, multiple time all-stars, and so I sort of lost a little bit of myself in that experience where it's like, okay, like I don't want to step on anyone's toes, and it was hard for me to really find my game. Like, I was able to find it in spurts but not consistently, and the time that I actually realized, like, and found myself again, guess what happened? It was kind of crazy. I think I had a toothache and something like that. And so I had to miss like one or two games due to a toothache. So I was forced to be separated from my team. And when that happened, I was like, man, like, Shanae, just breathe. Like, I watched more film and I had conversations with my coaches because I couldn't practice. I know I'm lame. Yes, this all happened because of my tooth. Okay, calm down. Tooths are sensitive. I said tooths. Oh my gosh.
Tooths are sensitive. Make sure we clip that one off for tomorrow.
Leave me alone. Teeth are sensitive. Long story short, when I was forced to be removed from the game, I had an appreciation for it. I had the necessary conversations about it. And guess what? I was better moving forward. We were able to finish the season and I felt better about my production and all that type of stuff. And I learned a lot of lessons, and I feel like that's very similar for Carson. He's forced to be removed, he's benched. But now what do you do during that time? Do you study? Do you talk to your coaches? Do you talk to your teammates? Do you have a different perspective now just because you're stepping away and you're not in the middle where you're in tunnel vision? That, to me, is what can happen that can actually help him. And I think that's the forced process that we see the Eagles making.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A lot of soul-searching on deck for Carson Wentz and this Eagles team. And we'll see. Coming up next, we'll check in with Mina Kimes to find out if she agrees with Dan Orlovsky and if she is ready to give the Buffalo Bills the praise that they deserve, the praise that Ariel Helwani demands on these airwaves. We'll do that after this word from Mercedes-Benz.
I said tooths, y'all.
Tooths, by the way, yeah. Everyone get your tooth checked right now. Time of year, you're eating a lot of sweets at this point in time. You want to be careful with all that stuff. Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's tailored to your lifestyle with options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and more. So, whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses can be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings based on 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Check your rate, tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. What is the problem in Pittsburgh? That's next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenay Ogwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up about 15 minutes, we're going to take a look through our very own ESPN NBA analyst, Shanae Agumake's eyes at the upcoming NBA season. We're getting closer and closer to the opening season tip, and so we've got some nuggets for you to watch out for as we head into that year. We will get to that in about 10 minutes, but now we're delighted to be joined on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes. You can catch her every day on NFL Live at 4 Eastern here on ESPN, as well as check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts. And Mina, we had a very angry Ariel Ariel Helwani on here earlier. I don't know if you are aware of how big of a Bills fan he is, but he essentially cut a wrestling promo talking about how no one in this network gives them any credit. So I'm going to give you a chance. Would you like to say something nice about the Bills to remain on Ariel's good side?
Well, first, I'd like to encourage Ariel to watch NFL Live 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN because we have been praising the Bills for months. I really can't say enough about what this team has done in a short period of time. You've come on my podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. I just got two plugs into one answer, by the way. And, last year was about the defense. This year it's been about the progression of that offense. I loved what they did in the offseason surrounding Josh Allen with weapons, not just weapons, but tremendously complimentary weapons. And, of course, I've been an admirer of Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, for some time now. But what we've seen this season is that everything has clicked into place for Josh Allen. It's very rare in the NFL to see a quarterback improve his accuracy the way he has, and maybe even just as importantly for Allen, his decision-making. But that's what's happened. So the Bills are, in my mind, they're the number two team in the AFC. They are the team with the best shot of challenging Kansas City, who I still believe is the best team in the NFL, and I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, Mina, clearly there's another side to the coin. The Pittsburgh Steelers undefeated for most of the season, then dropped two straight. What's the problem with Pittsburgh right now?
It's their offense, because the defense really did enough last night. I mean, held Allen, especially in the first half, obviously, to just a score, but they got tired, and I don't blame them, feeling like they had to carry the team, whereas the offense is just very one-dimensional. It's been that way much of the season, but defenses have kind of caught on and exposed the problem, which is Pittsburgh can't run the ball with success. A lot of that has to do with the run blocking. And Ben Roethlisberger isn't taking deep shots. And if you're a defense and you know that, you're just going to sit on the short stuff and play a lot of press man and challenge him to throw deep. And that just hasn't happened. He's also not mobile the way he used to be. It's funny, I say the way he used to be. Ben Roethlisberger's obviously never been, the fastest player, but he's always been very, very hard to bring down. And that's changed. So they're in a sticky situation because there's not really an answer when you have an offensive line that's struggling and a quarterback who can't overcome that. And then on top of all of that, a group of wide receivers who are dropping the football. I don't really know how it gets better for them.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And that's an interesting comparison, Mina, because a lot of the things that you just brought up, in a lot of ways offensively, you could say were ills that plagued the Philadelphia Eagles. And yet this weekend, they somehow, I in my wildest dreams, couldn't have imagined the Jalen Hurts-led Eagles going out and being able to take down this New Orleans Saints team. So a lot of people trying to make broad sweeping assumptions on a one-game sample size. But did you see anything from Jalen Hurts in this one game, a great game for the Philadelphia Eagles, that you think can sustain them down the stretch of the season here?
I did. I saw a few things. And first of all, people are right to be cautious before leaping to any great conclusions, because we've seen time and time again a rookie quarterback or a first-time starter come in and shock people. I mean, heck, Taysom Hill did that on their side of the ball, granted against the Falcons defense, which is very different from the Saints defense. But what I saw from Hurts that I loved was the fact that he eliminated negative plays. The fact that he didn't take a single sack against the Saints, who have one of the best pass rushing units in the NFL, is remarkable. I went back and watched his drives last night, and he left a few plays on the field, and most of his throws were off the first read, common things with rookies. But the combination of him not throwing interceptions or taking sacks, and then what he was able to do with his legs and how he opened up the entire running game, that added up to a sort of game management style offense that can work. Now, is it, going to be up there with some of the better teams in the NFL? Probably not, but it's certainly better than what we've seen so far from the Eagles.
Now, Mina, I'm curious because Dan Orlovsky, who's on the show with you all the time there, says the better Jalen Hurts does, the more likely and necessary the Eagles trading Carson Wentz becomes next year. But I look at that and I just don't see it being realistic for all the obvious reasons surrounding him financially. So does any of this down the stretch, is there anything down the stretch of the season that can change Carson Wentz starting week one next year for the Eagles?
I think if Jalen was bad, actively bad down the stretch, then they would definitely push to find a way to fix Wentz and make it work. But if he's able to play at the level we saw, now, that, by the way, that doesn't mean Jalen Hurts is necessarily the Eagles starter week one next year, but it does put Wentz in a more precarious position, even though they would take a big financial hit from trading him, less than if they cut him. But if they traded him, that, you know, you could see a team, a counterparty being interested in that because his salary would be fairly manageable after the trade for the buying team. So the Eagles would have to take a pretty big dead money hit. I think it's like $30 million or something, but if they were able to get a draft pick out of it, and then they could spread that money out, by the way. If they were able to get a draft pick out of it, I think it would make more sense than sticking with Wentz and just kind of having him idle on the bench.
It's going to be a lot to keep track of and certainly going to be one of the most talked about positions and quarterbacks going into this offseason. Mina, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Thanks, Mina.
Bye, guys.
Mina Kimes, again, you can check her out on NFL Live 4 Eastern every day on ESPN and download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. But coming up next, if you were wondering going into this NBA season, who to watch for, a young player to latch your eyes on, coming up next, my co-host is going to tell you who's going to win Rookie of the Year in the NBA, and Kyrie Irving stepped in front of a microphone, which means we don't want to miss this. That's all coming up next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Gumake. And friends, we have reached buyout season in college football. A lot of people didn't think it was coming. A lot of people thought a pandemic might have changed things. And a lot of people clearly do not know and understand college football. And so coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll remind everybody what's real here and why this year has only made it more stark and more apparent. But Chinay, we've also got the NBA season getting ready to tip off here shortly. We got games starting to pick up here. And in order to get ready and get into that, you do such a great job here as an NBA analyst for us. All over the place, people can catch you on The Jump. We've seen you on Hoop Streams. And so we thought we'd take a little peek behind the curtain, a little peek at what to expect this NBA season. So, Chinay, we are going to do your NBA preseason awards. Cliff, are we ready?
Let's go!
All right, Chinay Gwumike stepping up here to present some NBA preseason awards, and we thought we would do one every day here, kind of whet the appetite a little bit. And so, Chinay, we've got Rookie of the Year today. What can you tell me about this year's class?
Well, it would be easy to say, especially with the NBA, and I'm so excited to give you my awards every day until the NBA season. It would be easy to say and point to probably Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman because they're the most NBA-ready for likely Rookie of the Year award, but they're also playing with all-stars. They're playing with Steph Curry and Karl Anthony Towns, so I'd rather focus on rookies that might make a bigger splash, but in a different way, because I always tell people, when you're a rookie, and you might be like, oh man, I'm going to a bad team, that's the best thing ever, because that means you'll have opportunity. And so the nominees for Rookie of the Year, Obi Toppin of the New York Knicks. I have him as top of my list. Oh, pun intended. And also LaMelo Ball of the Charlotte Hornets. Those are the two most interesting rookies because being on a bad team means you will have great opportunity to play. Now, LaMelo in the preseason had 5 rebounds in his first 5 minutes in an NBA uniform. He also finished with 10 rebounds and 4 assists, but he missed all 5 of his shots from the field. But regardless, there's promise and star power there because Jamal Crawford, the legend, said, quote, LaMelo Ball will be a star. He has that it factor, and I think his game will catch up to him. Obi Toppin, New York, I'm talking to you, New York Knicks. I actually believe you have a great player, someone that actually you can root for and tune into. Obi Toppin was AP National Player of the Year, and he was what? He won all the awards. Naismith Player of the Year, John R. Wooden Award winner, myself included, consensus All-American. He averaged 27-2, and he played well in his first preseason game. The second game, I mean, because he doesn't have a real jumper, or at least one that's certified at the NBA level, he struggled when the Pistons went in zone, but still, I think Obi Toppin, everyone's rooting for him just because he's not one of those young players that were just in the college ranks for a short amount of time. But here, so obviously those are my two nominees. But here, I'd also like to give love to the year two crew. And I'm talking about Zion Williamson and Ja Morant, who were the sensational rookies last year. And now Zion's going to be able to play. And Pelicans head coach Stan Van Gundy said that he entered the season, you know, at camp with no restrictions, which is great because health has been a question for him. And Ja Morant, I mean, this guy, I was looking at Nuggets. I'm like, what makes him great? Ja Morant averaged 10.7 points per game in the paint. And the guard became the eighth rookie since 2000 to average double figures points in the paint. The people on that list too, Zion, Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, Jahlil Okafor, DeAndre Ayton, Pau Gasol, and Tyreek Evans, all bigs. He's doing that from the point guard position. So right now, the nominees for Rookie of the Year, I had to give love for the year two crew though. Watch those two because those two could be all-stars, Zion and Ja. The nominees for the Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go with Obi Toppin and LaMelo Ball. And I'm going to go with Obi because I feel like New York needs all the vibes.
There we go.
They need the vibes.
New
I'm
York.
That way.
You
New
heard
York,
it here first.
You. I don't know if it's really going to happen because LaMelo is going to shoot the ball more, but I'm at least going to put that energy out in your universe.
You know what? That's a fair point. No, we are an energy-driven show, and so we are going to fall back and rely on that. So, Chiney, her preseason awards for the NBA, getting you ready to go there. You heard it first. We will have plenty of action on the most improved front tomorrow. All I need to hear, Chiney, from the year two crew is that Zion Williamson showed up to camp in the best shape of his life. Yep. That's all I need to hear. I just need to see the picture like we heard this summer where they try and go out there and act like he leaned up and got right, and I will buy into everything you want to sell me when it comes to Zion in year two. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agbumike. So that's a lot to get excited about on the court, Chiney, things that we can actually look at. Off the court, it's been the Kyrie Irving show so far this season. Kyrie doesn't want to talk and wants to put out statements. That's fine. The NBA wants to fine him. Cool. He wants to put out more weird cryptic statements on his Instagram. All right, now it's starting to get a little weird. And so Kyrie Irving finally stood up in front of the Nets media, finally stood up and gave his first presser going into this season, and went on to explain his comment where he said, "I don't talk to pawns," what people perceived as a shot at the media. Here was Kyrie.
Like I said, the focus is on what's going on in the task here, you know, my job. And I wanted to make sure that that was clear. There are no distractions. Nothing about dispelling anything, nothing about going back and forth, nothing about calling out one person or another, not even refer to you guys as pawns, you know what I mean, or media. It's just really how I felt about the mistreatment of certain artists when we get to a certain platform of when we make decisions within our lives to have full control and ownership. You know, we go through the rigorous season, we do everything we're asked to do, you know, and we want to perform in a secure and protected space.
So, Chiney, you know what? Most of what I heard from Kyrie yesterday sounded fine. Like, it sounded remarkably fine and remarkably easy for a guy this smart to just stand up and do the thing that's a part of his job. And he doesn't have to give anyone 25 grand, which I feel like is a pretty cool thing as someone who would also like to hold on to 25 grand after making 25 grand.
So here, like, I think what Kyrie, he learned the lesson, as I've been trying to say the last few days, he learned the lesson the hard way. He lost a little bit of money, but now he stepped to the media, and guess what? By articulating himself in a humble manner, I feel like a lot of people are like, you know what? We understand that you didn't mean pawns. You were just in your own language, in your own bag, communicating your anger with your the NBA's decision not to let you do what you want to do. But still, I think the focus, even though it's Kyrie's comments, is that Kevin Durant finally was back on a court and he looked good. He dunked like one of the early possessions. So this team will be driven by KD and how great he can be, especially after Achilles injury. And Kyrie Irving pretty much deflecting as much of the blame in the sense of holding himself accountable. That's what the Nets were going to look to do this season.
I think that's the best part about all this, Chiney, is the... That's why all Kyrie has to do is exactly what he did yesterday. Because they're going to be really good. Because Kevin Durant's a freak. Because Kyrie's great when he's on the court. And we all want to watch that. We just don't want to be distracted by any of this other stuff going on. So ditch the weird cryptic statements. You're really good at basketball. You're pretty good in front of the microphone, too. Let's just get the Nets on the court so I can watch them take over the Eastern Conference and make the fans in Milwaukee real, real mad. But coming up next, speaking of mad, people have looked at college football and been upset about a lot this year. Coming up next, I will offer you the right places to aim your frustration. That's next on Chiney and Golic Jr.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.